Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
All right, so glad that y'all are here today. And we are here to celebrate not Dallas's birthday, but we are here to celebrate the life of Christ that we have inside of us. And as we are, I just want you to just center yourself in the Lord. I know a lot of things going on in our lives. We just got finished with Vacation Bible School over at our central campus. Served. How many of you volunteered? Anybody in here? How many of you sent your kids for us to take care of while you slept in? Some of y'all are just not admitting it. But anyway, a great week, like 320-something kids. If you can imagine that in one building, you're lucky that I'm still with y'all. It was so much fun, but yet it was, Dallas had the best job of all, actually.
I loved my job.
He got on a bus, he drove them somewhere, and he dropped them off and went and had coffee until it was time to go pick them back up.
The best job ever.
Yeah, the best job ever. But it is ministry, and we really think that we touched a lot of lives this last week in our children. And so thank you for all the volunteers. Thank you for the funding for all of you and online that made that possible. It's one of our largest outreach efforts in the church, and it is great. And so let me pray for us as we continue this morning. Lord God, thank you that as we come in your holy name, Lord, that I pray that we would just be in awe, Lord, of who you are. Maybe not even what we think that you have done for us, Lord, not even what we are asking you to do for us, even though, Lord, that is a huge part of who you are. But Lord, let us just worship you for your majesty today. Lord, let us just worship you, Lord, as we just sang that for you and your creation of heaven and earth, for your love and creation of us, just to be in a relationship with you. And so, Lord, as we're here, in the midst of everything going on, Lord, and not to make light of anything, Lord, we are going to come before you with our whole lives for healing that needs to take place, Lord, for mercy that needs to happen, for forgiveness that we all need, Father, for provisions that we need to ask to be able to make it through this next week or even through this next hour. Father, you are who you are. You are the great I am. You are the Alpha, the Omega, which means you are the beginning and you are the end. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Lord, let us come before you with that awe that you would know my name and every name of every person that hears my voice today. Lord, you know us. You created us and you love us more than we can know. Let us worship you for just that fact. In Jesus' holy and precious name, all the people said, amen. I was going to do this at the end of the teaching, but I think we're going to practice before we preach. Today is all about prayers that shake and how we change our perspective about how we pray, and our prayers are to glorify God. So what I would like for us to do, and it's going to be a brave moment, one of those scary moments for a pastor to make sure everybody comes back next Sunday, is the I would just like for us, for the team, and maybe even just I don't like excluding the team from their families, and so y'all feel free to go to your family or whatever. If somebody would stay up here and play something in the background or run a track or something, but to just to, I don't know if you want to come up here and pray or if you want to pray in your seat with your family. When I say do something different, not just different with your family or for your family, but different in the eyes of God. And it may be, I don't know if you've ever been in a setting where people get down on their knees at their chairs and turn around and pray at their chairs, or we've been in lots of meetings where people are on the ground praying, or where they're just, their hands are up, or I don't know what that looks like for you, but I'm going to ask for the house lights to be turned down, and so you're not looking at your neighbor, and maybe y'all don't feel quite as uncomfortable. But to be uncomfortable before the Lord, I think, is really honoring to the Lord. And that's not peer pressure, that's not pastoral guilt. I just think we've talked about being different, and that's what we're called to be. And so today, let's start praying differently. And you may be by yourself, and that's fine. I'm not going to ask you to join somebody. You can just do what you want to do where you're at. But let's do that. And I don't know what it looks like. I'm going to say it 3 or 4 or 5 more times. But let's just do it. And you might need to move to a different aisle, or you might want to move to the back of the room. Or if you're really private, there are classrooms on this side that nobody are in right now. There's offices down there. You can have my office. And while you're in there, answer all the questions. Just to be who God's called you to be in this very moment, just for a few minutes, not extended, but just for a few minutes. Let's see what the Lord's going to do, and let's see how we respond to Him and how He responds back to us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you for being available to us. Thank you for encouraging us and inviting us into your presence, into a relationship. And Lord, as we hear from your holy word today, Lord, just use me first and foremost by your Holy Spirit, not the words that I've come up with, but Father, your words. And Lord, give us all your heart and your ears, Lord, your mind to hear what you're saying to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So lots of folks are leaving for our first summer camp today, and so if you're going on that trip, would you come and let me pray over you, whether you're a student or whether you're a leader. You might be a bus driver. It doesn't really matter what you are, what you're doing, but come on up. Everybody's going to fight for the back row. Try to get behind everybody. All right, so everybody's leaving for Cedar Canyon this week, and it's 300 and something students are going to be showing up to that, and a week of ministry and fun and games and worship and all sorts of things. The antics are hilarious. I encourage you, if you've never been, that you need to even just take an evening off and go up for worship. You can do that. Even better than that, you can take a week off and go volunteer. Hallelujah. All expenses not paid, but we would love for you to go. And so there's my invitation for that. And if you go look at Courtney's car in the back right now, are you leaving right after this?
Yeah, I've got to find space for my personal. Oh yeah. Suitcase, but yeah. Other than that, yeah. I'm out of here.
She looks like she's in a moving van out there. She's got all sorts of things she's taking. So I just want to pray over them. It's going to be a great fun week for them. This will be this is not Cade's first trip to camp, but this will be Cade's first new camp. And also, yes, so we and Ella's as well. And so we're excited for them. And here's y'all's task, okay? Make sure by the power of the Holy Spirit they know what they're talking about. Amen? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Even at y'all's young age, you can correct adults. Okay? Especially your parents. Dallas didn't hear that back there. Yeah, he heard it. He's just ignoring me. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of Christian camping that we are so a part of. Matter of fact, we are leaders of in this church and so many churches in Lubbock, Texas. Father, it's through us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that these things take place where students get to know and be a part, immersed for a whole week or for 5 days in just Christian ministry and like-minded Christians. And so, Lord, I pray for them first and foremost, Lord, that they would be open and receptive to what you have for them. Lord, that and then secondly, that the leaders, that they would understand the monumental importance, the goal, the mission, the task set before them to introduce and to influence and to reinforce Jesus Christ in their life for the rest of their lives, for to be a firm foundation, Lord, and that they would take it in, Lord, that they would be filled, Lord, so that they can come back into the world, Father, on Friday of next week, and to be the influencers Father, to shape their classrooms, to shape their teachers, to shape their friends. And for so many of them, going to camp where their families are not Christians, where they don't know Jesus, where they would go back into those families and that they would bring a legacy of Christ for generations to come. So Lord, give them protection. Fill them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill them, Lord, fill them to overflowing. Lord, give them supernatural rest in those few hours that they get to sleep. Lord, give them your divine presence starting now, Lord, until the end of camp. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, it is a big deal and it's hard. I mean, it's a long week. It's fun. Well, some of us do it for 2 weeks. Are you going two or you're just doing one? 2 weeks right here. Joel's doing Luke's 2 weeks. Luke's doing 2 weeks. And so how about just an applause of appreciation for them? Yay! And even for a week. All right, y'all go sit down. Are you coming to Whose We Are? Oh, okay. That's 2 weeks. Awkward. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Is Ashley... Oh, hello? Who's doing children's worship? Oh, it's you. It is Mars. I know Ashley is not doing it today. So, if you're doing children's worship, out this door right over here, follow Miss Margaret. I see there's... little people's already in there. You may be outnumbered.
Maybe.
I hope you are.
Oh, good. I have
reinforcements. Oh, that's too bad. She says that like you can't learn about Jesus in here. I'm a little concerned. Just saying. Let me pray over our finances. Lord God, as we give today, I just pray over our money, Lord, over our investments, our retirement, Lord, over the cash that's in our pockets, Lord, and even what we do not have that you have not yet provided for us. Lord, as we give today, so sincere, it's always my prayer for me and my family. Lord, let us just follow your direction. And Lord, use what we give as we listen to you. And Lord, multiply it, Lord, to multiply your kingdom. Lord, let it not be about the money in the bank. Let it be about the souls of the people that we are called to minister to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to quickly go through half of what I have prepared today. And if you would like the notes for today, you can certainly get those. But I'm going to go pretty quickly so we can be you can be on your way today. Not that I'm trying to rush the Lord, but I like to honor everybody's time always. And so listen to this definition that I have kind of cherry-picked from different places, different books, different pastors, different sermons, different biblical texts. Prayer is a steady, conscious awareness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It creates a constant union of heart and mind with the Lord. And what that really does, though, is it shifts our perspectives, our plans, and our purposes from an earthly view to a more heavenly, eternal view. And so as you go through life, as you go through the day, as you go through your routine, this is a part of life. Okay, it really should be a constant. Everybody, most of you have one of these. Some of you are true Christians and you have an iPhone, and some of you are quasi Christians and you have something else. Christians show up blue on my text, and the other ones were just a little concerned about the green that you show up. That's a staff joke right there. So trust me. Matter of fact, if you have one of these, you might be pulled away from the Lord with all the crap that comes on it. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen. I mean, oh my gosh. Anyway, use it for good. That's all I'm going to say. But as you are connected, how many of you have received at least one text message today? Really? Just that few? Wow, the rest of you, I need your phones. That constant back and forth. How many of you are on social media? How many of you get text? How many of you are on more than one or two social medias? How many of you have different accounts? How many of you have more than one email account? You're connected all day long, right? Even as we ate dinner last night, I usually try to silence it. Matter of fact, it's very rarely unsilenced, and it just kept dinging, right? It kept notifying me. We're in constant contact with each other, and that's how we should be in constant contact with the Lord all day long, every day, from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep. And it should be that constant back and forth, right? Your time with the Lord doesn't always have to be sitting in front of a Bible, down on your knees in prayer, in devotional, quiet study time. Matter of fact, most of your other time should not be that. It should be a constant back and forth with Him. And this has been tugging on my heart for months, if not a year. I believe where we need more growth, right, where we are lacking a little bit as a, corporately, I'm not pointing any fingers. Don't take this about you. This is all of us corporately, even me or privately, even me corporately, is we need to grow in this area. We need to grow in our prayer life because I think our prayer is underdeveloped, how we communicate, okay? And so we're going to go through that today. I think we need to make the basic or a shift from basic prayer, right, from routine prayer to relational prayer. We need to make the basic shift from passive prayer to powerful prayer, okay? And by passive, I mean we kind of say the same things over and over and over again. Routine, the same things over and over and over again. How about this? How many of you, if you pray at dinner or if you pray for food or for meals, right? Let me just see if you can fill in the blanks. Lord, thank you for this, right? Bless the blanks that prepared it. Hands, right? I mean, I could just go through so many of those. And that's how we, that's kind of, and not that that's not a good prayer, but it's not the prayer that I think we need to do all day long with the Lord. And so Matthew 6 through 8, I think that we need to understand this. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And all this is really saying, in today's context, what I'm talking about, there's several teachings in there, but what I want to say is, it's not just about words over and over and over again. It's not about routine. It's not about how you say it. It's about what you say, okay? It's not about how loud you are. It's not about who you're in front of. It's not about just the words. It's more than that. It's about praying with power, okay? It's about praying with passion. It's about praying with intention, and it's about praying reality. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you want, right? I mean, how many of you don't want your prayers answered? Raise your hand. How many of you just say things because you're pretty sure God is not listening? Right? I mean, no, we intentionally have an expectation. And so what is that expectation for you and I? If you want to have those prayers, if you want prayers that shake, okay, and I'm going to tell you why we're talking about that. If you want prayers that shake, I think you have to tap into the mission of God if you want to tap into the power of God. If you want to tap into the power of God, you have to tap into the mission of God in your prayers, in everything that you do, okay? And we're going to explain that, what that really means. A couple of weeks ago, Ephesians 1:3, we hit it really quickly that day. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, we need every moment of every day operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that power to get through the day in the way that God wants us to get through it, in the way that we need to live out our lives Every spiritual blessing. And I know you want to be blessed, okay? I'm not going to ignore that. We have needs. You have needs right now. When you leave today, you're going to have needs. When you get to work tomorrow, when school starts back in the fall, or when you're buying a car or a house or whatever the medical thing is, or whatever the parenting thing is, the marriage thing. I mean, you have needs, and you want blessings upon those. I get that. I'm not going to ignore that. I want you to ask for those. God wants you to ask for those. We need to ask for those. But there's more to it than that. What I want you to do is not get up in the morning and think that you have to do something to get into the presence of God. I don't want you to get up in the morning and think that you have to do your devotional, or you have to plug in to whatever God's doing in order for you to have that blessing. What I want you to wake up and do, right, is wake up knowing that you are already a part of the blessing, every spiritual blessing in heaven. And I don't know what all of those are. None of us do. Scripture doesn't even outline all of them, even though a lot of them are outlined. But there are so many that we don't even know what those are. Okay? But we need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. What would one of those spiritual blessings be? Well, listen to me. It is that you don't have a spirit of fear, right? You don't have a spirit of timidity. You have a spirit of power, and you have a spirit that makes you an overcomer. There's a blessing. Just start your day with that. When you walk into a meeting, don't walk in going, oh Lord, please bless this meeting because this is going to be whatever. No, you walk in going, you already have the blessing, and how are you going to be that in the meeting? How are you going to be that in your relationship? How are you going to be that in your marriage? Whatever your, so many of us wake up thinking we're cursed, right? We're unqualified. We're sinners. We can't be redeemed. Nobody knows what I've done in my past. We're weak. We're disqualified because of something we've done. I've had people come up to me and ask me, I had a family years and years and years ago want me to talk to their children about some issues of life. And I said, well, why aren't you talking to them about that? I said, well, we didn't live our childhood out well either. And into our young adult years, we sinned and we did this, so we just really don't feel like that we can talk to them about that. Boy, if that's the case, you need a new preacher. Amen? Because neither did I. Any sinners in the room? I mean, we're not disqualified because we're human, okay? We are qualified under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so whatever your life circumstances, whatever your past circumstances are, whatever your junk is in your life, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to overcome that. Even if you think that you have a curse on your life, if there's a family history of some things, and there's sickness and illness and whatever it is, and there's just a whole litany of those things, the power of the blood of Christ is enough to overcome those. Nobody's excited about this but me today. Come on, I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to understand that we have that power. And God's asking us to pray that power. God's asking us to live into that power, whether we understand it or not. I don't necessarily understand how electricity works. I know how it gets from one place to another, and I know when all the different things. But just because I don't know how it works doesn't mean that I don't turn on the light switch, right? Well, I don't understand how the car really works, so I'm not gonna drive my car. I don't understand how electricity works, and so, well, I mean, I guess then we're done right here for sure, because does anybody understand how this stupid thing works? Right? I mean, we know there are things called algorithms. How does that really work? But yet, we participate in it, and we take advantage of it, and we use it for our good, and sometimes for somebody else's bad, but yet we do it. So why do we make the exception for the Holy Spirit? Why do we make the exception for Christ? Why do we make the exception for God? We shouldn't, because until we get in front of Jesus face to face, there are things we're just not going to understand. Even me, I said it this morning, and it's a great question. If we can't have all the answers, and if we can't understand everything, and if Pastor Matt or anybody else in the room can't answer all of our questions, then why are we here? It's a great question. I mean, I agree. I almost went and got my bike and left. I mean, that's just, it's a great question. I think the answer is we're trying and we're striving, and God says that I am here for you, even though I don't give you all the answers. Even though you're not going to know everything this side of heaven, we need to keep moving into it and find our place. Somebody else, not in this context, but talked about staying in our lane. I think I have a lane. You have a lane. We all have different lanes in life, and that's where God calls us to be. And sometimes it's a little difficult. Part of the reason the Holy Spirit resides in us, part of this idea of powerful prayers that shake, is that we need that presence in us to live out this life. I need it. I don't know. All the married people in the room. Gosh, I don't know how anybody. This is not a derogatory statement. Woo! Almost got myself in trouble. It's not about Robin. It's not about me. Okay, but I don't know how anybody stays married without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew, wow, I was scared. It's gonna be in trouble. How about parenting? Right? Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know about you, and we would have been there too. I know I would have been, but there ought to be a graveyard full of children out in the world, right? I mean, if it had been my house, that's the way it would have been. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, it's only, let's just go on and on and on. I won't say anything about church members. Now then, just kidding. Come on. Y'all know me. You got to put up with me. I mean, that's just part of it. Part of the reasoning, though, is that, now listen to me. This is important. These are not just words. I want to say it again. These are not just words. This is not just an attitude. Okay? This is a mind shift. This is an adjustment about how you see yourself. Okay, you need to stop saying, when I say you have the ability to lead a Sunday school class, or you have the ability to lead a prayer group or a Bible study or volunteer at the front or at Vacation Bible School, you have it. And most of you say, I don't. So you need to stop saying that, not because I want you to volunteer. I may never ask you to volunteer. Okay, but it's not that you don't, it's that you need to say that I do. I do have that in me. And you need to stop living out that life by stop saying, not in this context. Remember, I said I want you to tell God your needs, okay, because that's the relationship. But you need to stop thinking that you need the Holy Spirit inside of you because you have the Holy Spirit. I need more of God. No, you don't. You've got Him all. You just need it to be revealed into you. You need to unpack that. You need to take the lid off of that you're putting on it. And we do that in a lot of different ways, including me. You need to stop living in why did this happen, right? And because sometimes that's never going to get answered. I have those questions all the time about a lot of things, and just start talking to God and everybody else instead of why did this happen, say watch what's about to happen. Watch what's happening. Look what God's doing. How about stop living in the, stop living in the I'm not. This is a play on words. Keep up. And start living in the I am. Jesus, God, the great I am. See, that's where we need to live. And again, I know there's a self-help book out there somewhere that says these things, and that's not what I'm talking about. See, for me to say that I'm not, but I live in the I am, I know, not arrogantly, and it doesn't always work out the way I want it to, and it doesn't always even the way I think I believe God wants it to, and whatever it might be in my head, but I know I have that power. I know that power lives in me. One night this week, Robin and I are on our way home, and there was a lady that was on hospice. We stopped by to see her. She was by herself. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute, and you're going to see a part of me you've never seen before. But if any family ever leaves a dying family member by themselves in the hospital, I'm going to come find you. Because that's what they had done. And so when I went to the hospital and this dying family member's there by themselves and going to be by themselves probably when they died sometime in the night, I just whispered in that person's ear and I just said, you know, the Lord loves you and the Lord is ready for you. And you don't need to stay here any longer and you need to just go with the Lord. I said, just let go and go with the Lord in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here with you right now. It's time. It's time. I don't believe that my prayer did that, but I believe that God knew what that person needed in that very moment, and in just a few hours, they were in heaven. See, because when you pray in a way that shakes the ground. That's what today is all about. And so I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. Why do we pray? Here's what I want you to know. Why do we pray? We pray, right, to tap into the power of God that's inside of us. Not just because I loved that person. And in fact, I mean, that person had a life of hurt and heartache. When I first came into ministry, I buried her husband. 23 years ago. Then I buried her son just a couple of years ago who worked for me. I buried her daughter who died of COVID 2 years ago. She was 93 years old, I believe. Just lots of tragedy in her life. My prayer for her was because I loved her and cared for her, and she was just one of the sweetest, most supportive, most wonderful people that you would have ever met in the world, and she didn't deserve that, and I wanted the Lord to relieve her of that. See, that's the prayer. Listen to Acts 4, 29 through 31. So, Peter and John had been threatened because there was a healing that took place. The religious authorities and everybody else was saying, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop preaching the name of Jesus. You need to stop healing in the name of Jesus. And they said, nope, we're not going to do that. And they threatened them again. You better stop or we're going to kill you. We're going to throw you in prison, all the different things. When they went to their friends and said, hey, here's what's going on. Here was their prayer. Here was their proclamation. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant it to your bondservants to speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand. Look, while you, God, extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. See, what I want us to do here is to look at the mission, okay? Yes, I want healing in your life. Yes, I want prosperity in your life. Yes, I want your marriages to be great. I want your children to be fantastic. I want all the greatest good that's going to possibly happen to you. But in the midst of that, here's what I want to do is I want God to be glorified in it. And Jesus proves that to me. He said in John 12, Jesus said, he goes, now my soul is troubled, right? He was worried about the cross. He knew what that was going to entail. He knew how, he's just human. I am too. He just knew how bad that was going to hurt. He knew the suffering he was going to have to do. He said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, he asked. And he said, no. Jesus responded to his own question. He said, no, it is for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. See, there's the theme of our prayers. In healing, in asking for provisions, in asking for whatever you're going to ask for there to be glory to God's name in it. Always. Why would God do something if it didn't bring glory to his name? He wouldn't, and he will not, and he never has. But in the end, it brings glory to God's name. When we pray, it's not just about what I need. It's just about what you want. It's about maybe just praying to give glory to God like we sang today because of just who he is. See, that's the point. That's the, when we pray, there's little bookmarks out here. I just thought of this. There's little bookmarks outside that give you kind of the a little bit of a standard way in your method of praying. Not the words, but just when you pray, you should give glory and honor to God. You should give Him thanks. You should give Him praise, right? You should ask for forgiveness. How many of you ask for forgiveness in your own life before you ask for anything else? Don't raise your hand. Right? I mean, do we ever say, oh God, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Some do, some don't. Jesus had a need. I mean, He had a need and He asked God about it. He talked to God about it. But yet He still said, no matter what, I want you to be glorified. Just think about what happened when they prayed. And I want you to think about your own life. When you pray, after they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And it was physically shaken. Okay, I think that's fantastic. Wouldn't that be awesome? How many of y'all would scream and run out of this building if we prayed and thunder started happening and the building started shaking? I might be with you. But wouldn't that be awesome? But that's my personality. How many of you have prayed for somebody and there was still shaking? Maybe you just didn't see it. When I prayed for Midge on Thursday night, there was some shaking going on. And you've prayed for people and there was some shaking going on. You may not have seen it, you may not have known it, you may not have understood it, but it was happening. But listen to me, prayer is also, I do want to say this, and it's important enough that I want to put it up there, is prayer is never an escape from responsibility. Okay? I mean, I know, how many of you have prayed this, Lord, don't let me get caught? That's just me, but the rest of you are laughing, so I know you're guilty. Lord, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I know some of y'all have prayed it on the loop when the motorcycle police are out on the side, right? Get the other guy! Yeah. It's not an escape from responsibility. Prayer is a response to God's ability to say, Lord, I need you to be in this moment. Lord, I know that you are with me and I know that you don't leave me and you don't forsake me. Lord, show me how to, give me the power. Lord, give me the words. Give me the attitude. Give me the whatever I need right now. I know you're there and I know you see what's going on. Lord, I want to reflect who you are and I want you to get glory and honor and praise and whatever's about to happen. That's what we need to start saying. Philip Brooks, he stated this, and these are in the notes, by the way, if you want them. You can get them again. I'll put the tag back up there. It says, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers that are equal to your tasks. Amen? See, we need to shift our thinking. And I am guilty. I'm telling you, I'm guilty all the time of this. And the Lord saved me. The Lord, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the words. Lord, I just need you to show up. I mean, I've said it. Sometimes we even pray it right here, and I have to correct myself. Lord, join us this morning. No, He's already here. He's already in me. He's already in you. We do that all the time. And so I'm going to cut to the end, and we're going to come back and do part two next week. But I want you to think about this. There's a whole idea of this idea of how we pray. Okay. And I'm going to give you a little sneak peek into next week. You heard it in one of our worship songs. Thank you, Dallas, for that. I love how the Holy Spirit always pulls everything together. Is this, our prayers are not just shaking earth. They're not just shaking our lives. Our prayers shake heaven. Our prayers give, when it gives glory and honor to God, and by faith, we sang about just being faithful. When you pray in faith, Scripture says, boy, I really want to get into this, but I'm not, because we'd have another 15 minutes, and I don't want to do that to you. But when we pray, Scripture itself says that in heaven around the throne, right, there are bowls, okay? There are bowls that are overflowing, and inside those bowls are your prayers that rise in heaven like incense. So our worship is our worship rises to God, our words and our prayers all become the atmosphere of heaven. Isn't that fantastic? Fantastic. When you pray, I want you to shift your focus to not stop praying for people, to not stop praying for stuff, to not stop praying for provision, to not stop praying for need, but shift your focus as you do that when those things happen, that they glorify God. And that's the prayers that shake. Always. Always. Because even the ones that you don't think get answered, they're still shaking something. Because we got to stop looking to how God works and just know that God is working. Let me say that again. Stop looking about how God works and just to know that God is working. I do. I have to all the time. I have untold number. This is not encouraging, I know, but it's the truth. I have untold number of prayers that I don't know that have ever been answered. But I still pray. Still pray. Because I still know God is working. And those prayers in faith, I know, get the attention of heaven, fill the atmosphere, and become pleasing to God just by faith. So today, that's why I wanted you to do that earlier, is just do it differently this week. Do it differently this week. Matter of fact, even take 2 minutes this week. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Easiest homework assignment ever. Take 2 minutes this week. Don't pray for yourself or pray for anyone in particular. Just pray to God to give him glory, honor, and praise for who he is. And let's watch what starts happening in our lives, in the lives of others, in your prayer life, in your devotional life. Spirit-filled prayers that shake. Lord, I am confident that you're calling us to this. And Lord, I'm also confident that it's probably one of the most uncomfortable things that we will ever do in our walk with you. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your heart for the eternal things, the eternal life-giving things. While we live in these bodies, we have needs that can't even be enumerated. But Lord, yet at the same time, while we are asking, while we are looking, while we are searching, not only for answers, but for provisions to get through each and every day and to help others, to help each other, Lord, we need to be giving you glory and honor and praise in what we ask, not only in how we live. Lord, let it be true for us. Lord, give us your heart. Let us be excited about coming to you in prayer and just honoring you. As if we were walking into the room with the person that we admire the most in the world and how excited we would be to be with them and get to talk with them. Let that be our prayer life. Let that be our relationship with power and with passion. Power and passion for you. Lord, teach us how to tap into your mission so we can tap into your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's close in worship. And if you have questions, if you have thoughts, please come find me, email me, text me, whatever, however you want to. Just let's have this conversation. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know sometimes what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. Romans 15:13. This is your blessing for the day. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Go into the world and share that hope with prayers that shake. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.